Blog Talk Radio.
Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. I'm sorry, but I forgot the artist who sang that song, but I do know the title is These Eyes, and before the show is over tonight, I hope to have that author out to you of that song. Okay, today is Friday, as we all know. It was quite cold here today. Of course, it's getting to be in the winter, but you know, we're still having some beautiful days these last few days. I don't know what it's going to be like this weekend, but I'll just be glad when the winter gets here and get over, you know, because I'm really looking forward to the spring and the summer next year, because I'm going to be doing a lot of different things next year, so I'm definitely looking forward to next year. Hopefully everybody's going to have a nice Thanksgiving. And remember, those who are less fortunate than yourself, take them a plate of food or fix them up a food basket. But, you know, look out for the homeless people and the senior citizens who may be home alone. Send them a plate or, you know, go spend time with them, because this is a time of the year when people suffer from depression, you know, because of the holidays. They're alone. don't have food, you know, so knock on a neighbor's door or, you know, go around and serve somebody that's on the street that you may know, a homeless person, because that's how I used to do it. Thanksgiving, I, you know, be coming home from work and there'd be homeless people in certain places, and I would, you know, generally bring a plate from work because I worked in the hospital at that particular time, and they would give us a free plate of food, whoop-de-doo, but I would, you know, drop it off to a homeless person. So, you know, we can never be too grateful and too thankful when it comes to, you know, having food on our table, clothes on our backs, and a roof over our head, because we could be homeless today or tomorrow. You know, everybody's like one paycheck from being homeless. And there's a lot of people receiving food stamps and assistance because of the economy. So, you know, look out for the people. And, you know, don't do it just for Thanksgiving or Christmas. If you can do that, whenever you can help somebody, I'll always, you know, try to help them out. You know, never look down on a man unless you're trying to help him out. That's my motto. And I always try to stick to that, you know, seeing people who are less fortunate than myself, because I, too, could be in their position. As a matter of fact, at one point in my life, I was homeless, and I had two babies. So I know what it's like to be homeless. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to have nothing, you know. So if you are fortunate and, you know, have a little bit more than the next person, you know, look out for them. That's what it's all about. If you look out for people, you'll get your blessings. Tonight we have a very special guest, Keith Williams. But before I bring Keith Williams on, I'm going to bring on my co-host, Rhea.
Hello, how are you, Gail?
I am fantastic, darling. What about you?
I'm good, I'm good.
Good. Are you ready for Thanksgiving?
Well, I'll be spending Thanksgiving alone, so I'll be doing a lot of resting. Final start the week after I go back, and I'll be working 15-hour days. So,
ooh.
Yeah, I'll be working 15-hour days for 4 days a week, and for 2 weeks. So I'll be resting. I'm a little bit perturbed. My youngest son got his ankle ran over by a car, and he misrepresented his injury to me. And I finally got the picture of his injury, and it's resonating with me right now. It's like, okay. And he's Omega Psi Phi. He crossed the sands in April, and yesterday they turned 100, and I'm sure he participated in the activities that was going on. And it's like, interesting.
Wow.
I guess that's the resiliency of being young, but he's okay. He's healing.
Well, that's good. That's good. That, well, one thing, he has youth on his side now. If that will happen to you or myself,
I don't know. I'll be done.
Yeah, so he does have his youth on his side, and that's a good thing, because, you know, the youth, they can handle these different little accidents and things that, when basically, if I broke my ankle, I broke my ankle some years ago, but if I broke it today, I'm really afraid. I don't know what might happen, but, you
well,
know, I try
blessed.
To be careful.
Yeah, it didn't get broken.
Oh, it didn't?
It's barely bruised, but the zipper from his boot went through his leg and, like, you know, hit his bone. But he didn't tell me that the other part of the ankle was drug on the ground, so he's missing. He's got these two great big craters in his ankle.
Oh.
And it's like, are you serious?
Mm.
Oh, wow. So it's like, okay. Okay.
Wow.
But I'm not bugging him. I just send him a text every day and ask how are you doing, or you know, he told me he healed every other day, and he's healing. And my daughter is talking to me regularly. She said, "Mama, he promised he's not gonna hurt him." I'm trying to let him be the man he is, but it's like, damn. Okay.
Wow. That is really something.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I can't wait till they ask him.
Huh?
I can't wait to lay my eyes on them both so I can see for myself.
Okay. Wow, well, you know, it could have been worse, but, you know, thank God.
Oh, I'm counting my blessings.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah. So I'm going to let the people know a little bit about Keith Wiz before we bring him on. As a single father, Keith Kareem Williams made a huge decision to leave a good job during a terrible economy. He made his mind up that he would become obsessed with the pursuit of success with his writing career. So far, it has paid off. In these few months, he made a name for himself, and people know who he is and how he do what he do, which is a blessing. One of the things he's most proud of is how his children look at him. He's not depressed or frustrated because he's doing what he's passionate about. He writes constantly, and he already has the titles and plots lined up for the next 26 novels. Wow. This is what he do, and he's just trying to let the rest of the world know this. Keith's ambition is to become legendary in the game. He believes that a good writer pulls you into their story. A great writer makes the world around you fall away as you read. The legendary writers tell stories that become a part of you and linger long after you've read the last line of that last chapter. He also states, it was once said that the pen is mightier than the sword. Says to his fellow authors, let's advance our craft until it's mightier than guns, grenades, bullets, and nuclear bombs. If not, then put your pen down and fall back. Those of us who are serious about this will run you over as if you were riding in tanks. Wow, that's heavy. That is really heavy. So with that being said, we're going to bring in Keith. Hello, Keith.
Hello.
Hi, Keith.
Hi, good night, everybody.
How are you?
I'm good, I'm good. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome. Your book, I think I put it wrong. I'm saying something Brooklyn, but it's sometimes Brooklyn, right, and mostly Mars.
Yes.
I noticed that, you know, it's a book with a lot of different things in it, and I really did like reading it because it, you know, it was just taking me to so many different places. What genre would you say your book is?
That one is tough for me. Because it's like you said, it takes you so many different places, and it's basically a compilation book. But I would call that book almost like a diary. It took me about a year to put that together, even though it's not a large book. But I took all my, you know, the most popular status updates, tweets, things from my blog. And I put them all together. And that's a book that I'm mainly put together for the people that follow my career. They support my work. And I just wanted to put everything that they like because I looked at all the stats and I took the most popular stuff, things, and I put it in one place. And that's basically like a book to say thanks to them. Because when you read that, more so than my novels, because, you know, they're fiction, that book is special to me because after reading it, I feel that anybody who reads that book will have a better understanding of me. Because the subject matter is so varied. So it's basically all the different aspects of me right there in that book.
Right. Okay, let's talk about, I'm not going to give, you know, a whole lot of the book away because I do, you know, want people to purchase the books so they can read it themselves. But you wrote something, The Trap. And that's any and everywhere you sell your books. Give us a little bit on that.
Well, when I wrote Welcome to the Trap, that's basically a description of what it's like every day to get up, load up a duffel bag or a cart, and go out and push your books. You know, I wrote that to kind of illustrate to other independent authors. And you know what, not even necessarily independent authors, just anybody doing anything that requires marketing and so promotion, you have to do it 24/7. You know, if I go to the corner store, people think I'm joking. If I go to the corner store, I take a book with me. And if I run out of books, I have flyers with me, even just to walk to the store. I go downstairs to check the mailbox, and I'll go down with a book because sometimes I'll even see people passing and ask them, like, listen, I'm an author. You want to take a look at one of my books? That's how you have to be. You can't be passive because, listen, I don't have a huge marketing machine behind me. I don't have money for TV commercials or banners or posters or billboards. So I have to be my own machine. And believe it or not, people, even when sometimes it's cold, I'm still out there. I still set up my table, stand out in the cold. And people respect it because if they see you willing to go to those lengths to promote yourself, they know that you have to believe in what you're doing. You know,
that
even people
true.
Who, the casual reader, people who, you know, a lot of the people that even buy my book, they're not readers. Like, I'll stop them and they say, you know what, I don't really read like that. I'd rather watch a movie or listen to music, but you know what, I respect what you're doing. How much is your book?
Right.
You know, and one of the great feelings is when someone like that who tells you that, listen, I'm not going to read this. I'm just buying it just because.
Right,
and then a week later, you get that email like, wow, I just finished your book. How can I get the next one? So, you know, that's a great feeling. So, you know, that's basically what Welcome to the Trap is. It's anywhere that you can sell a book, do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever you do, you know, promote yourself constantly, constantly. You have to be obsessed with it.
Right, because I generally take my books everywhere I go, and I tell people when I go to funerals, baby showers, they say a funeral, but I don't really sell them at the funeral, more
right.
or less at the repass, you know, because I do pass out my business card at the repass, or, you know, if I'm at a funeral, somebody that I know, family or something like that, I'll give them my business cards, and they'll say, well, do you have any books with you? And, you know, I'll go to the trunk of my car. Sometimes I may have a big enough pocketbook that I'll, you know, maybe put a couple of whatever in my purse. But you're right. You definitely have to market your books, you know, any and every kind of way that you can. And the best way is to have them with you at all times. And if you
That's
have
right.
business cards, pass them out, flyers or whatever. You know, I put out flyers in the different vicinities and the communities that I visit. And like I said, give out my business cards to people that, you know, I may run into somebody on the street or in the store talking to somebody in the line waiting to pay for my groceries. You know, those are the type of things you have to do to get yourself out there because
That's
you're
right.
not going to, you know, you're not going to get out there any other kind of way.
Right. That's one.
Yeah, and right. so you go to liquor stores, nail salons, laundromats, check cashings, you know, just everywhere.
That's right.
Now, how do you make out in the check cashing place?
Here's what
just...
you do. Here's what you do. Here's a formula for that. Either check cashing place or a bank. What I'll do is I'll set up my table, not near the entrance because you don't want people to feel extremely pressured because that's almost like a robbery. So
right.
what I do is I set up somewhere where I know that, you know, a decent amount of people are going to have to pass to get in. So what I do is, as they're passing, I say, excuse me, before I used to make a very bad mistake by going, you know, as people pass me, I used to say, excuse me, do you read? And people either get offended, like, of course I read, and now they don't want to talk to you. Or
right.
by asking them, you give them the option to tell you no, so that they could just dismiss you and keep it moving. Because to be honest with you, most of the sales you get outside, people didn't come outside looking for a book. From me. It's just that I convinced them to buy one before they went on their way. So when I set up by a check cashing place or by a bank, what I'll do is as the people pass by, I say, excuse me, I'm an author. These are my books that I wrote and I'm promoting. I'm self-published. When you pass back, do me a favor and just take a second and take a look at one of my books. Most of the time, that approach is not, it's not over the top. It's not trying to pressure you right now. Remember, people are in a hurry to go. They have worries on their mind. They're going to check that balance. You know, they have business to take care of in the bank or in the check cashing place, so they don't really want to talk to you on the way. But once you engage with them and you interact with them and you're polite, you started off with a good morning, hey, how you doing? they'll say, okay, you know what, all right, on my way back. And 80% of the time, they really do come back to you. Even if they don't buy a book, they're going to stop and hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Once they come back, the sale is on you. It's on you to convince them. I mean, it takes a lot of practice because you also have to learn how to talk, to read people very fast,
mm-hmm.
to figure out what you need to say to get them to purchase a book. Because I made tons of mistakes. Like, I said the wrong thing and turned the person off and just kept
mm-hmm.
it moving. Even in
right.
the description of the book, I have to read the person and feel them out. So I usually engage in casual conversation, talking about myself. And as we start
mm-hmm.
going back and forth, I read, you know, what keywords or what things I could say to get this person to really purchase a book.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how that works.
Okay. Now, in the barbershops, now, this
mm-hmm.
is something that I don't know if it goes for barbershops. When I had went into a hair salon one time with some guys in there, and they said that they don't read. So it's mostly men that,
yeah.
you know, say they don't read. So in a barbershop, how you handle that?
Well, in a barbershop, I don't walk into the barbershop and basically promote the book. Like, actually, I anticipate that the men, because even in the street, men will walk past, like, nah, I don't read. Nah, I'm good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So with the
mm-hmm.
men, what I usually do is if they're in passing, if they brush it off like that, I said, well, your wife, you know, your wife don't read. Yeah, she always reading these books. I said, well, listen, do yourself a favor. Buy a copy of my book just to show me support. I approach the men differently. When they're non-readers, I approach them differently and just try to get them to support me just based on the general idea that, listen, I'm an independent, you know, I'm an independent artist, author, trying to get my work out there. I'm just looking for some support. I'm looking for some help. You know what I mean? Help me get to where I need to be at. And I politic with them and talk to them about the business and I talk to them about what I'm doing. And most of the time after that conversation, they'll be like, you know what? I ain't going to read it, but I'm going to support you. Or what I tell them is, listen, don't buy it for yourself. Do me the favor. Buy it and pass it on to somebody else. I'll sign it to whoever you want. You know what I mean? Or if they have a wife or a girlfriend, I say, listen, do me a favor. Buy a copy of the book. I'm going to autograph it to her. When you go home, tell her, listen, I heard this author was really good. He was around the way doing a book signing. I went to meet him. Make it sound like you went out of your way to do something for her. I said, trust
right.
me, you're going to have a good night. So, you know what I mean? That works too, you know? Mother's Day, I get a lot of sales. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mother's Day, Christmas, Valentine's. You know what I mean? That's especially when I do that.
Okay, and it says the block is your favorite.
Yeah.
Explain to our listeners what the block is and why it's your favorite.
The block is my favorite because, you know what? I've been to, like, places that you would expect, like, you know, how can you put it? More like a shopping area or, you know, it's more of an upscale crowd and things like that. And the block is just more interesting to me. Because when you stay out there long enough, you sort of get a vibe, a pulse, a feel for everything that's going on. You know what I mean? I have dudes that hustle, criminals, that they know me. Yo, what's up, man? Yo, my girl read your book. Or, yo, where you been, fam? We ain't seen you in a minute. What's good? And it's more interesting. I meet so many different people. I hear so many different stories. And the reason why I love the block also is because sometimes when I go to the quote-unquote upscale places to sell my books,
mm-hmm.
the people have more of a dismissive attitude, like I'm peddling something, you know? Like I'm peddling
mm-hmm.
bootleg bags or something, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I'm on the block, the people really do show you love. Like I've had people come up to me and tell me, you know, we have a conversation, they buy my book or whatever, or they see me all the time. And there are people that will pass by my table, not buy a book. There's dudes that don't buy the books at all. But every time
mm-hmm.
they see me, they drop off, yo, here, yo, fam, that's for you, just give me $5. At first, I used to be insulted. Like,
mm-hmm.
dude, I'm not a beggar. You know what I mean? But then when I thought about it, I said, it's not really that they're looking down at me. They just respect what I'm doing. They don't necessarily want a book, but they want to support what I'm doing. So here's $2. Here's $5. You know what I mean? Just you keep
right.
doing what you're doing. So I don't turn it down. Because believe me, at first, I was real insulted. Like, nah, I'm good. But then I realized that that's also offending people because they're showing love.
Right.
You know what I mean? For what I'm doing. Because there's one particular dude at one of the places where I go every Saturday, and I used to see him every Saturday, you know, come through mean mugging all the time. And still, yo, what's good, fam? What's going on? At first, he looked like, what are you talking to me for? But then now, you know, now he see me, and one day he walked up to me and said, yo, I see you out here every Saturday religiously. I was like, yo, because I believe in what I'm doing. He was like, yo, I respect it. We made him the best of friends now. You know what I mean? But I really like being out there because it also inspires other people to do things that they want to do. You know what I mean? I had a guy that drives like a van service, right? Like it's like a illegal cab kind of thing in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to me, these are your books? I said, yeah, you know, I wrote them, whatever. He's like, wow, seriously? I was like, yeah. He's like, yo, man, I respect you a lot for that. And when I talk to them about being independent and doing this and how I left my job, and it's not easy, but I get up and do it every day. Some weeks are good, some weeks are bad. You just got to live with it. You know, I'm not balling. I'm not driving a Bentley, but I'm happy. You know, and it encourages other people to maybe they had something that they wanted to do, and maybe they didn't have the courage or they didn't see a way for them to do it, and I let them know, listen, you can. So that's why I especially love the block.
Okay, and speaking of leaving your job, you was in a conference from when you was walking out, you mumbled something like you were your own boss.
Yeah.
Is that when you made the decision to quit your job?
Yeah, it was hanging over my head for a while, you know, and then basically what happened with my job is I really wanted to work there for a year. Started off as a driver, worked for a year. After my year was almost up, I was ready to quit. They offered me a supervisor's position. I said, well, is it for more pay? They was like, yeah. So I said, okay, sure, I took it. So I used to run, you know, Paterson, New Jersey for them, and then they gave me Brooklyn, Queens, and the Bronx to run. And it was fine, you know, I made good money. The hours were long. That's one of the reasons, because I'm a single dad, and my kids were always with someone else. With my mother, with my aunt, with my cousins. I would only see them on the weekends because I left so early in the morning to go to work, they were asleep. Or I'd have to take them out in the middle of the night to stay with somebody. And then by the time I got back home, a lot of times they just stayed wherever they were because it's so late. I don't want to go and drag them out in the middle of the night. So I was just seeing my kids on the weekends, and I said, this can't work. You know, I have to do something else. And I said, you know what? When I put out Water Flows on the Doors years ago, the feedback was great. Everybody loved the book, read it. And I said to myself, you have a talent, right? And as time goes on, what was happening is I was also becoming comfortable in a job. I've been working since I was 14, you know, but you know, for different places. But, you know, I would always get a manager's position or supervisor's position. I would get comfortable. And I said to myself, you're getting older, right? You have this talent. You're not fully exploring it. And I've just felt that the older I would get and the more comfortable and settled I would get in the job or working for other people, that I wouldn't have the courage to step out and do this. So I just made a decision one day. I said, yo, listen, it's now or never. And I'm also taking orders sometimes, and I'm like, oh, you should be your own boss. Not out of arrogance, you know, or a feeling of entitlement, just because I believe in my potential and what I can do.
Right.
So one morning on my way in to work on the train, in the company BlackBerry, I wrote my when I got confirmation from the printer that I would have copies of Open Spaces, my second book, in 2 weeks, I gave my job 2 weeks' notice.
Hmm.
So, and trust me, I was scared when I did it.
Wow. Well, has it been pretty lucrative for you since you, and how long ago was that?
That was February of 2010. So a little over a year, right? Yeah, February 2010. Mm-hmm. I left in March. I gave them notice in February. I was going by March. I'm not rolling in money. I'm not rolling in dope. Budget is tight like a vice grip. But, you know, I can go to my kids' shows when they have shows at school. Mm-hmm. I can go on trips. You know what I mean? I don't have to take a sick day or know that I have a million things to do at work. And if I don't go into work today, it's going to be 2 million things by tomorrow. You know, so I have that type of flexibility. The kids see me more. They're happy. So some weeks I make more than I used to. Some weeks mm-hmm. I make less, to be honest with you. But mm-hmm. I make it work.
Right.
You know, I make it work.
Wow. Well, I'm, you know, I was really amazed reading this book and, you know, how you put it together. And there are some things I hope I get to touch them all before the end of the show. But what we're going to do now is we're going to take a little break and we're going to come back and, you know, get back into interviewing you, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, welcome back. That's Anita Baker. You bring me joy. And tonight my guest is Keith Williams. He wrote the book, Sometimes Brooklyn, Mostly Mars. And if you have any questions or comments, please call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. Hit the one that'll raise your hand, and I'll know that you have a question or comment for Keith. Okay, Keith, getting back to the book. You did the book commandments.
Yeah.
I enjoyed them.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Can you elaborate on some of the commandments that you had in the books? In the books?
Well, like for instance, you know, like I said before, every conversation is an opportunity to promote yourself. Just mm-hmm. like, you know, I don't care if you work at McDonald's, if you pump gas, if you work at Morgan Stanley as a broker. If you're really passionate about writing and your books, when someone asks you what you do, you're always supposed to say, oh, I'm an author. And it might seem tedious, you know, after a while, because it used to seem like that to me at first, like, wow, this is all you ever talk about. But you'd be surprised how fascinated people are by that in itself. Like, wow. The response is always, wow, really? And you just go from, I don't use pickup lines no more when I'm talking to women.
You just say, I'm an
author. I don't try to be slick. All I try to do, you know what, I'm behaving myself. I'm on my best behavior lately. I'm a good boy now. But at first, I was running amok because as soon as I met somebody, I met a woman, first thing first is a win-win situation. Listen, you either go give me your phone number or buy a book. So one of the two. But that's one of the things, though. You know, like you're always supposed to let people know that's what you do. You talk about it constantly. And people are fascinated by it because how many people could really walk around and say, you know, they ran into an author? You know what I mean?
Right.
So you'll never bore them. That's one of the things. And then, you know, you're really, really, you can't be shy at all. There's no room for shyness. You know, I've come across, like, you know, either, you know, aspiring authors or authors, and they're shy. You can't be. I mean, I'm not saying to be obnoxious, but you can't be shy. Take pride in what you do. You should be proud to let people know exactly what you do and to tell them about your books and to showcase your work. Because if you're timid, you know, if you don't believe in it, people pick up on, they can sense it in you. You know what I mean? So if you're not proud of it and you're not bold about it, they won't believe in it either.
Right. And it was something that you had said also. You said, man, I don't need this headache. I write books and I'm nice with mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was something else that you said as well. Everyone is potentially someone who will support your movement.
Definitely. Definitely. You know, at one point, when I first started doing this, you know, you start to, you kind of develop a sixth sense for it at first. Like, you can pick up on the people who, like, for instance, at first I wouldn't approach people. I would wait to see when someone walked past the table and actually look at the books, and then I would just assume, well, okay, that's a reader, because, you know, anybody that didn't look at these books, they're not interested. Now I stop everyone, because you would be surprised. You can't, basically, just like they always say, you can't judge a book by its cover.
Right.
You can't do that when you're promoting yourself either, because I'll pass by guys that I was sure were going to tell me no, like, no, I'm good. I don't need a book, you know what I mean? And, I approached one dude, and I said, listen, you know, you want to check out? He's like, nah. He told me to know at first. I said, all right, no problem. And, you know what I'm saying? I'm just, I'm an author, so, you know, everywhere I go. It was almost like I was apologizing for bothering him. Like, yo, my bad, you know, everywhere I go, man, I promote my books. And when I said my books, he said, oh, wait a minute, you wrote these? I said, yeah, man, that's me. So let me see one. He said, that's all you have to say. Went in his pocket. How much is a book? Pay me for it. So, you can't, and it's a thing like this. Anything you want to do, you have to put yourself in position to run into people that can either promote or help move your movement forward. You know what I mean? Shyness is not going to get it done. You know, if it means you have to talk to 500 people for the day, so be it. But that's better than talking to no one, staying in your room writing. You know, it's not going to happen. I've run into people, like, none of it has led anywhere, but I've run into people that work for big publishing houses and things like that. You know what I mean? They usually, but you know what? I might be a jerk for it, and it might be kind of foolish, but I don't give out free books like that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, sometimes people will tell you, oh, I work for Simon & Schuster. Yeah, here, take a book. Never hear from them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Also, one guy that he did work for, he worked for a publishing house, a smaller publishing house. He did take the book, but he paid for it. And he said, you know what I respect? I said, what? He said that even though I told you that I work for a publisher, you still made me pay for this book. I said, yeah, because I know what it's worth. I know the value of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I said, you wouldn't walk into the store and get it for free. I said, listen, this is my livelihood. I would love to give away books, but I can't. And he respected it. You know what I mean? He actually did get back in contact with me. But what they were offering me, I do that on my own.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So why would I get tangled up in that?
Right.
You know what I mean? So I was good. I thanked them and told them at this time I can't, you know. And it's business. It's not personal. It's business.
That's true.
My kids.
Rhea, do you have any questions for Keith?
Other than the anthology that you have coming out, what else are you, what's in your near future?
So my near future, well, you guys know that I also, but I know you guys know about Crossroads. Everybody that's listening better have Crossroads because that book was amazing. And, of course, I was in give me one second. My head is full of all kinds of things. The Eros 369 Volume 3, Naughty Ink Press, Untapped. That's the erotic stuff. Right now, I'm working on a book called Colden in January. That's also going to be an erotic novel. Because you know what? This year was my first venture, the first time I attempted to write erotica. Like, my books have love scenes, but I never went full on erotic stories.
Mm-hmm.
The feedback that I got from my stories let me know that, wow, this market is crazy. Not crazy in terms of, like, insane. I just mean, like, wow, there is a strong market for this. And it's almost like, you know, when I'm out, even with those pushing them, it's almost like how people buy porn. They kind of, you have to kind of break the ice with them and let them know, hey, it's okay if you read it. I'm not judging you. Buy a copy. Enjoy it. So I started working on that. And I also have a friend of mine, an awesome lady. She told me about another book that an author wrote about. Because, you know, we have conversations and I was talking about past relationships and so on and so forth. And she was like, you should write a book on that. And I was like, I haven't done enough to write an autobiography. I don't feel like I could. She's like, no. And she actually gave me an idea for a different angle to write that story. So now I'm working on where I'm basically going into, like, certain relationships that I've had. Not naming any names because I don't kiss and tell. But basically that's just giving different scenarios that I think women can relate to and men will relate to also. It's not a book of women bashing or, you know, it's not male bashing. It's just the things that go wrong in relationships, the things that should have gone right but didn't. You know, and I try to, you know, if a lot of people ask me, like, those type of personal questions. So I'm like, you know what, here you go. This is why I am the way I am, or this is how I arrived at this point. So I'm working on that. And so far at the moment, the title is Glass Goddesses, Concrete Walls. You like that.
Wow.
I love that title. It took me a little. Usually I get my titles right away. Originally it was titled originally was titled Flowers in My Garden Lost, but that, I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I actually wrote the last line of the book already, and it ties in perfectly with the glass goddess's concrete wall. So
that,
you'll see that soon.
Intriguing.
Real soon. This is why I don't get sleep.
Yeah, that's definitely more intriguing.
Yeah, right?
That title could sell that book.
Thank you.
Well, we have a caller, and I think it's my girl Lisa. Let me bring her in. Hello, caller 770. Is this you, Lisa?
Hey, y'all. What's good in the hood?
Hey, what's up, Lisa?
Hey. I had to sit here and listen to Keith run his mouth and handle the chat room. I got to say something about Keith. I really do. Hey, Miss Lish, Miss Gail, you know I love you. Hey, Miss Rhea, I love you.
Hey, darling, love you, babe.
I love having my own show on hiatus until January because now I can call in and mess with y'all. Now, when it comes to, I have to say something about Keith because Keith has been with me since, Jesus, when I first moved down to Georgia. He was one of like the first 200 authors that I started promoting. This man grinds so hard. I mean, and the respect that I have for him for being a single father alone. I mean, he'll be on the phone with me, talking to me, jotting down notes, cooking dinner for the kids and everything else. But me and him have had long talks about a lot of different things that go on in our lives. And Keith, you, like I said, a long time ago, there's one person in my life that really has the top, like, top respect for me, and that's my brother Sal, and you come right up with him because there is not too many men I know that do what you do, and you hustle and grind every day. Like you said, you got the book on the block. You love your block. But at the same time, you step out of that character and you go and do what you got to do for your children. And that, I give you many props on that. And I got so much love for you, sweetheart. I really
thank
do.
Thank you, baby. Thank you.
I really
love
do.
You back.
I know you do. Somebody got to love me. It might as well be you.
Lisa, you're one of the hardest working promoters out there. So I definitely give you your props for that, you know. And, you know, I really like what you're doing as far as the authors and you're promoting the rappers. And, you know, like I said, you're one of the hardest working promoters out there that I know. So, you know, you just keep doing what you're doing and, you know, stay true to yourself. And you're definitely going to get your blessings, girl. I mean, continue to get them because I know you're getting them.
I'm you know what, I'm not even worried about that. What I'm worried about is all my authors getting out there in the game and taking over because I'm so tired. I get so aggravated with the fact that they're not on the bookshelves, they're not on this, and man, that's a whole nother show for a whole nother, you know, a whole nother story for a whole nother show. But, you know, it's just real aggravating, and I just love y'all, I do. And I will do whatever I have to do, you know, and... Oh, my God, Keith, just keep doing what you're doing. Promise me that because you're one of the best men that I have ever talked to. I really got to tell you that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and go back on the computer in the chat room. I just want to call and show my love.
Thanks, baby.
Thank you, Lisa. We appreciate that.
Always. I'm always here. You know that.
Yeah, I know, darling. I appreciate that.
Okay, I'll see y'all on Facebook.
Later, baby.
All right, Donna, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest this evening, Keith Williams. Okay?
All right.
left my fears up, so I dropped it on.
Welcome back, everybody. That's Atlantic Star, Play Another Slow Jam. And tonight's guest, Keith Williams, is here with me and my co-host, Rhea. If you have any questions or comments for Keith, feel free to call in. The call-in number is 646-652-2877. Again, that number is 646-652-2877. And when you call in, hit the 1. That'll indicate that you have a question or comment for Keith Williams. Okay, Keith, getting back to the book, I also noticed that there are some poems in the book. You do poetry as well?
Yeah, I used to write mostly poetry. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, I stopped for a while. So more so than prose, I have to be inspired to write poetry. Either I hear something, see something, feel something really deep, and then that'll make me, you know, write poetry.
Right, yeah. That's how I am too, because I write poems, but I have to have something that motivates me, or, you know, like you said, see something, feel something, hear something,
right.
You know, because I that's just how I do my poetry, you know. And I know a couple of spoken word artists and poets that, you know, have books out and, you know, can recite a poem out of the top of their head. I can't do that. I would have to write it down and then read
right.
it, because I can't even though I would love to be a spoken word artist, you know, because I just love the way they, you know, how they recite and, you know, how they perform, actually performing while they're doing their poetry. I would love to do that, but I just can't memorize stuff like that like I used to when I was, you know, in school, when you had to memorize a poem and recite it the next day in school and stuff. I can't do that. But I did notice that you had some poems in there, and I did, you know, really like some of them as well. Daisy, Maiden Dreams, I liked that one. Arthur's Long Gone and Scent of That Woman.
Mm-hmm.
That was really a nice poem. Also in the book, you had tributes to Bob Marley and Sam Cooke.
Yeah.
Are they your favorite entertainers?
Love them. It's Bob Marley, Sam Cooke, Jimi Hendrix. There's so many because music plays such an important part in my process.
Mm-hmm.
Because song lyrics, they inspire me. You know, sometimes like I listen to everything right across the board, from just instrumentals to just bands playing without any lyrics. Everything. Music really inspires me. Sometimes I'll work in silence. If you know, whatever I'm working on, sometimes the flow isn't just right. So I'll turn everything off just to clear my head. But most of the time when I'm, you know, freestyling a story, I need music. I hardly work in silence. Hardly. I'll do more of the editing, like, you know, my own initial edits in silence.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to write with music, so I even have a novella that I want to write. That's the title of the novella is actually a Jimi Hendrix song that I love.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I want to title it "If Six Was Nine." I love that song. You know.
Wow.
So, yeah, music is important to me, definitely. And I find myself listening to Bob and Jimi Hendrix and Sam Cooke a lot. My grandmother put me on the Sam Cooke. Love him.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say you're kind of young.
Not an old soul.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, because I definitely love Sam Cooke as well.
I throw in the Billie Holiday, too. I get it in. I know my music.
Wow, well, you going stomping on my grounds. Yeah, because I can, I love Dinah Washington, Billie Holiday, Otis Redding, you know, all those old school, you know, because I'm not into the hip hop and, you know, even though there are some hip hop artists that I can listen to a little bit of their music, but some of it I just can't, you know, like Lil Wayne, it's a song that he does, How to Love. Now, I love that. And then, you know, just picking them out.
Right.
I love Snoop Dogg.
Right.
You know, and Will Smith. What's the other guy's name? LL Cool J. You know, rappers like that. Queen Latifah.
Right.
You know, stuff like that. Okay, now getting back to the book, you also put love letters to your supporters. I thought that was really nice, you know, how you did that. That was really, you know, so appreciative, you know, and, you know, when they're reading that, I'm quite sure that they're having these emotions and feelings behind that, because I did, you know, for you to write and title it Love Letters, you know, to my supporters. That was really, you know, a good thing to do.
Definitely, because the thing is, like, you know, I have a page on Facebook where it's where I put, like, you know, I promote, like, if I'm going to be on a show. And it's basically, I guess Facebook will call it a fan page. But I never call it a fan page. I always say, listen, this is my author's page. Because I don't consider people who buy my books fans. You know what I mean? They're not fans. They become family to me. You know, we don't just talk about, like, I don't think anybody on Facebook or on any social networking site could ever say that I flooded their inbox. Hey, I put out a new book, read my book, or anything like that. With the people that support my work, buy my books. I have people that have bought my book 3 times. And mm-hmm. I've asked one lady, I said, listen, you bought my book 2 already. It's the same book, too. Why? She's like, because somebody disappeared. Somebody took it. I need another one. You know what I mean? Or mm-hmm. someone will hit me up and say, listen, I can't find anything to read. So you know what? I'm going to just read your books again. Things like mm-hmm. that on days, because I have bad days. I have horrible days, to mm-hmm. keep it real with you. You know,
right.
where I might go, I've gone out on days and sold one book for the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing there like, wow, really? You know, I'm ready to go look in the classifieds or go back to my old job because my boss still want me to come back. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Or I could, you know, and I'll get it. And you know what's funny? That sometimes the feedback that I get from people, I always tell people, listen, when you finish reading the book, hit me up, tell me what you thought. I don't care when, if it's next year, next week, tomorrow, whenever. Just let me know what you thought of it. Because sometimes I'll get up in the morning and I know you just wake up like, oh, yesterday was horrible. Let me see what's going to happen today. And someone's email, someone's text message, I'm horrible with the phone. I ain't going to lie. Like, I don't really answer my phone too much because a lot of times I'm doing something and I don't want to be rude. So mm-hmm. I'd rather, like, text message because I can multitask. I do 2 things at once. But anytime I get a text message, an email, a Facebook message, a tweet, it means a lot to me. Sometimes just somebody saying, wow, this, that, and the third, it motivates me to keep going. I had a friend who said to me that she's so, well, she's a friend now, but she's, you know, mm-hmm. she's a reader. She read my books. She said she's so proud of me, and she said she's proud to know me because she could look at her sons when they get older and say, look, I know a man who followed his dream, took care of himself and his kids, so you don't have to go this way. Look what he did. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Things like that make me feel good. People that buy my books, I don't hit them up on, you know, to say, if you read my books and you like my work, you'll know when I put out another book. So if I hit you up on your page or I tweet you or I inbox you, it's to say, hey, how you doing? You know what I mean? How you been? I ain't hear from you in a while. People do the same thing for me. Hey, Keith, how you doing? What's going on? Hey, Reem, what's up? So I don't have fans. Everybody actually becomes my family.
Wow.
You know, without them, I couldn't do this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I give out my phone number. I give out my email address. You know what I mean? Because everybody's important to me. Otherwise, I might as well just write in a notebook and keep it in my room.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody reads, like, especially with, like, open spaces, I've had men, women, they say to me, listen, I felt like you were living in my house when I read that book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, are you a fly on the wall? Mm-hmm. That means a lot to me because everything that I write, I put a lot of myself into. You know, I can't be far removed from my work, even if it's science fiction or horror. What makes even good horror or good science fiction, they say, let's use science fiction for example. It's not the fantastic things that are going on, all the science and the technology that makes a great science fiction novel. That's kind of like the background, like the decorations. It's still mm-hmm. the humanity of the story that you're telling, whether it's aliens, robots, the future, whatever. That's what makes it a classic, is how people relate to it. So this is why I make it a strong point to put a lot of myself in my book. Sometimes people hate the villains, love the hero, and I try to explain to them, now listen, I'm both. That's how I was able to create a villain that you hated so much. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, both aspects of me are in that book. You know, so
mm-hmm.
that's what I try to do. But I really love the people that show me love and help me do this, because without them, like I said, I couldn't do it.
Wow.
Couldn't do it.
Okay. You also had the 12 visits to Venus.
Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite visit and why?
Ah, that's tough. That's tough. That's a tough. Ah, you hit me with the question of the night with that one. I don't know. You know what? Each situation or each... Well, you know, Visits to Venus was about, that was, you know, about women and, you know, certain women, how I feel about them, felt about them. things like that. It's difficult because each situation is different. It's just like beauty. You know what I mean? I don't, over the course of my, what would you call it? I guess my dating career or my relationship career, I don't think anyone, you know, some people have a particular type of person. Like they're going to continually date the same type of person, same look, same attitude, same vibe. I think mine is so varied because just like Visit to Venus, why it's hard for me to pick a particular one and say it's my favorite is because I loved and appreciated each one for different reasons. The situations were beautiful for different reasons. You know what I mean?
Okay, well,
one visit to Venus, it might have been how strong her personality was. Another, it might be because she was so needy. You know, it depends. So that's a hard one. That's a hard one. I can't really say I have a favorite.
Okay.
That was a great answer.
Yeah, that
good
is
answer?
A good answer.
Yeah,
safe
answer,
answer,
right?
Most definitely. Yeah,
that was
do you have any more questions
answer.
Or comments for Keith?
As far as the releasing of your books, you said that you have the storyline of titles to 26, I think was the number, book already lined up. Do you have a timeline associated with the releasing of your books, or are you doing them as the feeling move you to do it, for lack of a better term?
Well, in terms of the next 26, in terms of what title I choose to do next, I pretty much go off of which one I'm feeling motivated. I get the vibe to write. Like, some stories scream louder than others at different times, depending on my mood, you know? So that's basically how I pick the order. But, like, in terms of the release dates, now I want to become more focused going into the next year. And I don't know if I could pull it off. Kind of ambitious with it, but I have so much material that I really feel that I need to start releasing the books more often.
Okay.
So, if God willing, if I could get my act together and really, I'm challenging myself. I always challenge myself. I would like to drop a book for each season as the seasons change. So let's say 4 books a year, if I can.
Okay.
Not saying I will. Because what's really dictating that right now is not the length of time it'll take me to write the books. It's basically like finances, because it's expensive for me anyway. You know what I mean? It's not cheap to put a book out. So if I want to do it right, like there's so many mistakes that I've made from this point moving forward, I don't want to make those same mistakes. And in order for me not to make those mistakes, it's going to cost me some money.
Did you
self-publish
your books?
Okay. The cover of the one that we're speaking on, that cover is extremely intriguing. Not only is it sharp, not only is it something about that cover that draws you in, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's nice.
Right.
That's nice. And you
Thank
did
you.
That cover yourself as well, correct?
Yes, I did.
Mm.
Found a picture on, you know, I found a picture. So, yeah, this is the picture. It just struck me, yeah, this is it. And then,
sharp picture. It's detailed. It's like you actually looking down from a plane or looking down at the. That's an extremely nice picture. I'm not a cover person.
Right.
I'm more led by storylines and
right.
topic.
Right.
But I remember the day you posted that cover, and I was going past, and I had to back up. And
right.
I just sat there and looked at it for a while, then I made my comment. But good job.
Thank you. I learned.
What cover are you speaking of?
The one on
sometimes
the.
Sometimes Brooklyn, mostly.
Oh, okay.
The reason
that
I said
is
the title,
intriguing cover.
Because I knew I was only going to get 2 of the words in the right order.
That is a beautiful cover.
I knew I was going
to
say Brooklyn and Mars, but I couldn't tell you.
I had to learn, like early on, I remember I started off, I was working for my father's company when I put out Water Flows on the Doors. So it was a hobby for me. You know, it was a side thing. Like, let me put this book out, you know, see if I'm really as good as they used to tell me that I am. You know, so it was, I was real, now, well, it's art and, you know, that, and it still is, but now it's, I had to find balance between wanting it to be extremely artistic to the point where people sometimes don't get it. Like, yeah, the cover is cool and, yeah, the art might be cool, but we don't know what the book is about by looking at it, you know. So now I have to, with a lot of things, I have to balance between the business and the art of it, you know, especially with the covers anyway, because I'm always going to write the way that I write. I mean, I'm going to get better, but I'm always going to take the same approach to the actual words and, you know, inside. But and now I have to start thinking about marketing and doing things that are eye-catching or things that will attract people to the cover. Instead of me having, because I can't be everywhere, you know what I mean? So I want to create something that it'll sit on the shelf and it will draw someone in to pick it up and look at it. Because I can't be there telling you how great it is, or somebody can't be there with me telling, yeah, this is awesome. You know what I mean? So
right.
I'm starting to learn how to find a happy medium, you know, if that's, you know, that's the correct way to put it, that kind of in-between place. So, but I'm glad you guys love the cover.
Yeah. Do you believe that a book can be judged by the cover? Or should it be judged by the cover?
I don't think it should be. But realistically, it will be. It always will be. You know what I mean? Like,
right,
it is what it is. Because, you know, you have serious, for the serious reader,
mm-hmm.
a cover, you don't. They don't even need a cover. All they need is the title and your name. That's it. They go
right.
For a serious reader. You could just do an all-black cover, put your name in the title. Or if you're a big enough author, big authors get away with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But and even some of the big authors, you know, with the big publishing houses, like, not all of, let's say, Stephen King, not all his covers are wow covers. But
mm-hmm.
his name, if you notice on his covers, his name is huge.
Right.
The cover is whatever, because you know what I mean? The
right.
The title and his name sells the book. I'm not
That's
at that
true.
Level.
Mm-hmm.
So my covers are more, you know, it's a little trickier for me to get the initial readers. Once I get the readers, I'm good. Because for the most
right.
part, I've hardly had anyone read one of my books and not want to read the next and the next and the next and the next, whatever, have you, so on and so forth. But
mm-hmm.
it's to get that reader the first time. So I have to start approaching the marketing aspect of it the same way I approach writing the prose. Because when I write the stories, say, for instance, you put together an anthology, right?
Mm-hmm.
At first, you know, you're creative, so you always say to yourself, wow, that's an awesome story, though. Do I want to use it in an anthology or do I want to keep it for myself? But then
mm-hmm.
again, this is how I look at it. You, as an author, you never know where a reader is going to get their first impression of you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be an article that you wrote, it could be a blog post, it could be a poem that got published somewhere, it could be a short story in an anthology, or it could be a book that you wrote. So you have
right.
to approach everything with the same passion. Because that's how they'll seek you out and look for your other work. So you never know where you're going to make that first impression. So don't half-ass anything you do.
Right.
Now, that's a very good point. Speaking for myself, I have well over 2,000 authors on my page. And I engage with all those that engage with me. But
right.
I remember the day I started paying more attention to you. It started off, you asked a question. And the question, I believe, was, when do you start taking your daughter to the shop to get her nails done? That's
right.
what you started off with.
Right.
Then the next day, you put that note up. that she wrote, and I told you to put that in the album because that's going to bring back memories, and plus you can blackmail her later on with it.
Yeah.
And I remembered that, and I'm like, okay, so I started paying more attention.
Right.
And then you would put up these little short blurbs. They would let short statements, and it's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you're tripping. Oh, wow. And so I started in the middle of my work day. I'm looking for you. Okay, let's see what he done said today. Let's see what he done said today. And that's when you told me, well, I be wilding out on Twitter. I'm really reckless over there. And I've told you I'm not tweeting, twicking, or nothing else. I'm on Facebook, and that's it. And then I said, and then that's when you mentioned or either – the conversation started about you sharing those things. And next thing I know, you put a book out about it. And I'm like, wow.
Right.
Look, I want to share some with you today. Sure. Your name came up, but I'm sure they won't remember it. But the concept of the book we're talking about came up. My son is going for a job where he works on the docks. And he was talking to the owner of the company and the recruiter that was working with him. And the owner of the company ended up taking over the conversation, talking to my son. And my son started taking it to a different way. And he just started, you know, he wanted to take some of the, I guess, business out of the conversation. And they got on the subject of books.
Right.
And he pulled up the cover of the two books that my review is on. A line from my review was on these two books, and he pulled up the cover, and then he told the guy what his writing process is and how he was talking to his phone and this and the other. And I told them, I said, yeah, there's an author on my page named Keith Kareem Williams, and he published a book. I think it's his third or his fourth book outside of the anthologies that he's been in. He published a book, and it encapsulate his tweet and his Facebook post and little comments and things that he done. And they just sat there and they just looked. And they said, really? I said, yeah, you'd be surprised how interesting some of those things can be. And I just sat there and he said, oh, well, I got an iPhone. And this is the manager talking, I got an iPhone. And it has all these apps on it. I could just record my stuff throughout the day because he's been keeping a list of things that has happened with his workers. And I started laughing. I said, okay, interesting. So don't be surprised if you get a couple of orders coming out of Maryland because of that.
Thank you.
Okay, I want to get into the 13 impossible things. I was really, you know, liking the ones where you said, I will sell 10 million copies in the next 3 hours instead of over the next 3 years. That was really, that was hilarious. But I can understand what you, well, this is how I'm interpreting it. And then you just made it out of fun, but you're saying like in the next 3 hours. But for real, that's not even, that's so far-fetched.
Right.
Until you put down the next 3 years, you probably could. You know, you would strive better to do it within the next 3 years opposed to the next 3 hours.
Right.
That's how I took that.
Yes,
and
definitely.
Then you had, instead of 24-hour days, there'll be 48-hour days. A lot of people can use the extra hours, believe that. You
definitely.
Know, because before you look up, it's time for you to cook dinner, go to bed, get up and start all over again. You know, whereas people wish, well, I wish I had a few more hours to do this, to do that. So that sounds good, even though it'll never happen.
Right.
And this one, I really like this one. I wake up tomorrow and realize that all the worst pains of life were a dream.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is really something.
Yeah.
That is really something if you could wake up tomorrow and, you know, realize that all the worst pains of life were a dream. And I guess if you do, you can wake up and, you know, if you say, well, all the worst things in my life are over with and basically forget about them or put them somewhere in the back of your mind, the trash can of your mind, you could say, well, it was a dream.
It was a dream. That's right. It's just it's just like you'll have an intense nightmare and you wake up And I don't care who you are, you have the right nightmare, you're afraid in the middle of the night when you wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what's funny is that, let's say, sometimes, you have to either watch something or do whatever you do, your process is, to get back to sleep. But the most interesting nights for me are the times when I might have a nightmare and you wake up and it's almost time for, like, the sun to come up.
Mm-hmm.
So you lay there. You ever notice that as soon as the sun is up and you get that little bit of light, you're good, everything seems all right, and you could go right back to sleep, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about the bad things that will happen in life. There's no way around it. You know what I mean? And people always, like, my mother even said to me, you don't worry about anything. I said, it's not that, but the things that I don't have control over or the things that I can't do anything about right now, I don't stress. It's pointless. You know what I mean?
Right.
Only the things that I can affect, the things that I can take control of. And if a problem is too big, then you know I'll just chip away at it till it's gone. That's all. So in terms of even getting over hurt or things that, you know, sometimes somebody might have wronged you in life or a situation didn't go right or you were hurt by something,
mm-hmm.
I learned this a long time ago. Let's say it's a bad relationship or whatever. Now, you always had somebody in your life that they did something and you said to yourself, damn, I'm going to never get over this, right? It might have took you a week. It might have took you a year, right? But eventually you got over it. So how I live my life is, listen, if I know that eventually I'm going to get over it, why not start right now?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Why not start right now? I'm going to feel better about it next week, right? Next week is going to hurt less. The week after is going to hurt less. The month after, it might not hurt at all, hopefully. Why not start today? Because one thing about life is nobody can give you back time. And I don't feel that you should give someone that much power or anything that much power over you where you dwell on it and you hold it in your chest and it bothers you. Don't get me wrong. The pain, listen, it's unrealistic to think that the pain is just going to automatically go away. It's not.
Mm-mm.
But don't let it hinder you from living your life. Don't let it stop you. Don't let any, you know, don't let a bad business situation stop you from other business ventures. Like, I'm never going into business with anybody again. That was just a bad deal.
Right.
Yeah, you learn from it, you move on. A relationship. Don't ever say to yourself, oh, that's why I don't love nobody. I'm never going to love nobody again. No. You learn from it. You move on. You know what I mean? You find something else. You know what I mean? And you also don't hold a learning from the past, people get it confused. Learning from your past is not the same thing as using your past and holding it against other people. Like, every
right.
time I meet a new person, please judge me based on my actions and my interaction with you, not what the person before me did. I don't care if it's business, intimate relationships, whatever. Judge me based on what I do.
Right.
That's all I ask. Not saying we're going to get along. Not saying it's going to work out from a business standpoint and whoever, because we might have opposing views on how to get things done, and it might not just work out. But judge me based on my actions, not someone else's, and we'll be good.
Right. Well, where can people keep up with you, and where can they order your books at?
Well, I finally stopped being a loser and put together a website real quick where they can go. I'm still working on it. But
mm-hmm.
it's up. It's ironflagpublishing.webs.com.
It's what?
Ironflagpublishing.webs.com. I'm working on. I'm gonna get the whole .webs thing off just, and I'm just putting it together for now. But you can go there, and all three books are there to be ordered. If you want to go to Amazon and get the books for your Kindle, just put in Keith Kareem Williams. I have an author's page on Amazon, so the Kindle downloads are only $2.99. My blog, of course, you can keep up with me, the Gully God Chronicles, .blogspot.com. Twitter, where all the recklessness happens, all the crazy talk. Oh, my Twitter name is @ReemTheGullyGod. That's my name on Twitter. And Facebook. My Facebook. I have a Facebook author's page, not fan page. Author's page. Keith Kareem Williams. So.
Okay.
That's all the places
well,
they can keep in contact with me.
Okay. Okay, I just put your website in the chat room. That's ironflagpublishing.webs.com, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you heard it. That's where you can go and get his books. And tell us the titles of all the books that you have out.
Okay. My very first baby that I'll always be in love with was Water Flows Under Doors. That was the first. The second book was titled Open Spaces. And, of course, the book we discussed tonight, Sometimes Brooklyn, Mostly Mars.
Okay.
And if you go to my website, under the About Us column, you can see everything, like all the other places that I've contributed work to, like the other anthologies and so on and so forth.
Oh, okay. Well, it was a pleasure having you on tonight.
I had a great time.
And, right. And anytime you want to come back, feel free to, you know, drop in or, you know, if you have any other books you'd like to have reviewed and, you know, come on the show, just hit me up on my inbox on Facebook or you can send me an email. But, you know, it's really a pleasure having you on, and I hope that, you know, you continue to do what you do, keep writing and keep marketing your books like you're doing. And, you know, just I wish you all the success there is for anybody to get out there because you are definitely grinding and you deserve it.
Thank you. And I wish the same for you. Likewise.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bria,
do you have any closing remarks?
Thank you. It was a great interview.
Thank you.
Okay.
Always have a good time. Thanks, Rhea.
And Rhea, I appreciate you introducing me to Keith Williams as well as you did the other authors that's been on the show. Rhea has really been an asset to my Blog Talk Radio show, and I definitely appreciate her.
Oh,
so we have
you.
You're more than welcome. We have 2 minutes and 32 seconds left, and my next week's show is going to, I don't know if it's going to be Slow Jams or Happy Hour, but that's the next show, Friday the 25th, and we'll be getting the December show scheduled after that. Also, like I said, next week is Thanksgiving. Look out for your neighbors and the less fortunate. You know,
definitely.
Yeah, because you know, everybody's not in a position where they can even be inside to eat a meal. So if you drive around the city, you see a homeless person on the street, take them to the store and buy them something to eat, or you know, take them a plate or something. But you know, just be courteous to people who are less fortunate than yourself.
Definitely, it's a rough
area. I want to give a shout out to everybody that came through the chat room tonight. DK, Kanai, 825, Lisa Perry, Reem the Gully God, 48 Carat, No More Deacon, and the three guests that were in the chat room. I appreciate everybody who came out tonight and listened to the show. Flies on the Wall, I appreciate you guys as well. And Rhea, you have a beautiful night.
Thank you.
Have a beautiful night.
You too.
And
thanks for having me again.
You're more than welcome. And everybody have a blessed week and a nice Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Bye. Above a lonely sky.
night, everybody.